So we have been in a series in the book of Isaiah, and we're going to look at a pretty important event in biblical history, but also in the book of Isaiah today. We're going to learn about trusting God to uphold us. You know, there's a verse. This next verse is probably one you've probably heard it before. It's one that we tell ourselves whenever we get scared. Anybody ever get scared? Every now and then? Yeah. We can get scared. And this is a verse to tell yourself that. I'm going to read it, and then we'll read it together. Actually, let's read it together the first time. You guys ready? Can we do it on the first try? Yeah. Think we can do it? All right, let's read the first line. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's really good. You know what? I think we can do even better, though. Think we can?
Yeah.
Let's read it one more time. You ready? All right. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that a good verse? You read that verse, you kind of like want to flex, want to show some muscles, right? Like you get a little extra courage, right? It's just a good verse. It says, do not fear. How many people fear? We all have times where we can be afraid of things. What's something that you fear? Anybody have something that you get scared of? Peyton?
Sometimes it can be singing on stage.
That's right. But the more you do it, the better you get, right? You're being brave. That's right. Very cool watching her grow and get more and more comfortable and better at it. That's right. Jacob?
Sometimes when you're alone, it's late at night, you get a bit scared of the dark.
Yeah. 13 years old and still he's being honest. You know, there's some people that they're like 43 and they still get a little bit scared at night. You walk out, you hear something creak in the house. You're like, I don't know what's out there. Yeah, Cooper? School? What do you get scared of about school? Math? Just walking into math class. Because those math teachers, man, they can be tough. And you have a tough math teacher because I know her. What's that? Yeah, math, you know, going to class can be scared. Hayden? Meeting new people. That's right. You know, sometimes if it's your first time coming in, you're like, I don't know anybody here. You can be a little bit scared, right? That's why we like to reach out to guests and be like, hey, I know it's your first time, but we're glad to have you. You ever do that? Good. We'll try and do that. Yeah, it can be scary meeting new people. Anything else? Any others? Emma? Being the center of attention. Oh, you ever have those moments where you feel like everybody in the room just looked at you? Like right now, they just looked at you. Her eyes got big. She didn't realize what was going on. Yeah, that's good. Any others? Anybody in the back? We'll go to the back. Any others? All right. Well, there are things. Everybody gets scared of things. You know, even grown-ups get scared of things. That'd be a fun thing. We could all go through and talk about what we hear our parents getting afraid of. But we're not going to do that in here today. But we know that there's things that you get afraid of. Maybe it's the job. Maybe it's you're having a review with your boss. Maybe it's the house is falling apart. There are things that we become afraid of, and we need to remind ourselves of this verse. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. So neat to read this. When we're afraid, where is God? Where?
Right next
to you. He's with us. That's what this says. He's not like sleeping somewhere and not knowing what's going on. He's with us. Don't be afraid. He's with us. And then what does God do? It tells us what he does. What does God do? He will strengthen you. What else? He will help you. What else? He will uphold you. You ever feel like those times you're just like, I'm done. I just want to go lay on the couch. Like I can't even keep myself up anymore. I'm giving up. And it says, he will uphold you. Isn't that comforting to know? He'll hold you. You just keep your trust in him, rest in him, and he does the work. He's doing all the heavy lifting here, right? We just have to rest in him. We have to trust him. So this is a great verse to remind ourselves. I think of people that I've known, they're going in for surgery. They're telling themselves this verse. They're interviewing for the new job. They're reminding themselves of this. We need to be reminded that we can rest in God, that we can trust him, that He can uphold us. He can uphold us in what? A few things? Everything. So if he can do that, then we need to trust him with what? Everything. And you know what? Next slide. We got our big idea, guys. You ready for this? Are you ready? We haven't done a big idea in a while. You know, it won't come up if you're not loud. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah!
Did that work?
Yeah, it worked.
Oh, there, it worked. Look at that. God can uphold us in anything. So what?
So we trust him in
everything. We trust him in everything. That's right. God can uphold us in anything. So we trust him in everything. We got to tell ourselves that, right? Because there's going to be things that come up in life where we doubt. And we need to make sure we're getting God's truth into our heart and not just what the world's telling us, right? We've got to trust in God. We've got to rest in him. So what we're going to do today is we're going to read a story from the book of Isaiah. This is a big event that happened years and years ago. God was using Isaiah to go to the people to tell everybody that they need to trust God. He's going out telling the people, God can uphold us in anything, so we need to trust him with everything. So he's going to tell people to do that, but they're going to have some circumstances that they didn't expect. Have you ever had something that you didn't expect? You're like, oh man, I didn't expect that. Well, we're going to see that something happens that they didn't expect, and here's what they didn't expect. Anybody know who that is? A bearded man, a guy in a huge hat. Well, since we're a little rusty on our ancient Near Eastern history, anybody had that class? Anybody had Assyrian history yet? Okay, we're gonna have to have a class afterwards to go through that. Well, this is an Assyrian soldier. And next slide. And this is an Assyrian soldier coming out to fight somebody. They're in their horse and chariot. They're coming to attack. And specifically, what we're going to see is that they are coming to attack Jerusalem. They're coming to attack King Hezekiah. The king of Assyria, his name is Sennacherib. Everybody say Sennacherib for me.
Sennacherib.
Hey, that's pretty good. And he's going to come with his army commander, who's the Rabshakeh. Say Rabshakeh. Man, you guys, you've majored in Assyrian history or something. All right, you're doing good. Okay, so King Sennacherib and his army commander, the Rabshakeh, they are coming out with all their army to attack King Hezekiah. Do we have another slide? Yep, there's King Hezekiah, and you should have gotten that. Kids, if you got that when you came in, everybody get a copy. There's some coloring sheets in the back. Anybody not get one? Anybody want one? Anybody need one? So the kids, Dave wants one. Maybe somebody can hand some of those out. John, could you see if there's some on the table there and just hand them out? If you guys color this during service or whenever, get it back to me. We'll put them on the screen next week, all right? So that's a coloring page we have for you guys. So this is King Hezekiah, and I'm going to need some help. So it's Hezekiah and his partner, let me make sure I get his name right, Eliakim. Say Eliakim. Man, you guys are all over this. All right. So it's Hezekiah and Eliakim and Sennacherib and the Rabshakeh. So I need some volunteers. All right. I need somebody to be an Assyrian. Who can do that? All right. Let's see. Cooper, come on up. Let's see. We'll do Ezra. You guys come on up. All right. This might be dangerous giving out swords in church, but we're going to do that. So these are some true Assyrian swords. We made them ourselves. So are you going to be Sennacherib? You'll be the king, all right? And you're the Rabshakeh.
Do I get to run him through with this?
No, you don't get to run him through with that. Hopefully everybody will live through this. Glad you asked before you attacked him. And I also need a king. I need a King Hezekiah. Hayden, come on up. Ian, come on up. All right. Are you going to be my king? Okay. In the Welton household, we were a little... Come on over here, Ian. You can stand on this side. In the Welton household, we were a little bit low on crowns. So I've got Black Panther. So we'll just have you wear that on your head, kind of. And I've got Ant-Man. So you guys can just kind of wear it like that.
That'll be perfect. I know this is a little confusing to have the king a little confused, but Hezekiah was a little bit confused. So that's King Hezekiah. If we go to the next slide. All right, so this is Assyria. Assyria's in green, all right? That's the nation of Assyria. And then if we go to the next slide, that's Israel. So that's what King Hezekiah's over. So if you're in a fight, do you like to be the big one or the little one? You want to be the little one? All right. Well, you're getting what you want. So we've got big Assyria, little Israel. Next slide. This is a close-up of Israel. Run through these. All these explosions. This is them coming down. Keep going. Boom, boom. Yep. Keep going. And then the circle is Jerusalem. That's where you're at. And so they're coming down. They took out 46 cities already. These guys... you're the king, right? Sennacherib and the Rabshakeh. Yeah, so they're taking everything out. All right, so we're going to read and see what happens. What do you guys think is going to happen?
I think they're going to try attacking.
You think they're going to try and attack? Okay, all right. All right, so when I say Sennacherib or Rabshakeh, you guys have to make some noise, all right?
Which one am I?
Either one, both of them. You're Sennacherib. All right? All right, you guys ready? I don't think anybody's ready.
Yeah.
Anybody ready to read?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Do you think that's good enough?
No.
No? Hayden said no. Are you guys ready to read?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So we're going to read. This is Isaiah. We are in chapter 36. It says, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, what do you say? All right, there you go, the enthusiasm. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against the fortified cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh. Nice. I think he's done that before. He sent him from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem with a great army. And he stood by the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. And there came out to him Eliakim, otherwise known as Ant-Man, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. And the Rabshakeh said to them, say to King Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, on what do you rest this trust of yours? Do you think mere words are a strategy for war? Who do you trust in? Behold, you're trusting in Egypt. Who are you supposed to trust in? In the Lord. Trusting in who? Egypt? You're trusting in Egypt, that broken reed of a staff which will pierce the hand of anyone who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar. Come now, make a wager with me. My master, the king of Assyria, I will give you 2,000 horses if you're able to put riders on them. How then can you repulse a single captain among the least of my master's servants when you trust in Egypt for chariots and horses? Moreover, is it without the Lord that I have come up against this land to destroy it? He's not being really real nice, is he? He's kind of talking some smack there, right? All right, so then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Don't speak to us in the language of Judah. So it's like if we were there, we all speak Hebrew, they speak Aramaic. And what Eliakim's trying to do is, hey, don't speak to us in the language that everybody else knows. Just speak to us in Aramaic so nobody else knows that you're threatening us. That's what he's doing, and that could work, but I think that's your only strategy. I don't know if this guy's going to be nice. Do you think he's going to be nice?
Mm-mm.
No? All right, let's see what happens. But the Rabshakeh...
Exiles!
What was that?
Exiles.
All right, that works. Rabshakeh said, has my master sent me to speak these words to you, to your master and to you, and not to the men sitting on the wall who are doomed with you to eat their own dung and drink their own urine? This guy's got a bit of a potty mouth, doesn't he? Can you believe he said that? Does your mom know you said that? Oh, man. You know, this is pretty intimidating. These guys are saying some mean things. He's saying we're going to beat you and make you do some bad things. But you know what? Sometimes that happens in life. We meet people that aren't being very nice, right? You ever had that happen? Yeah. Okay. Then the Rabshakeh. Then the Rabshakeh. Sure.
The force is with me.
The force is with me. All right. Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Judah, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria.' Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, 'Make your peace with me, come out to me, then each of you will eat of his own vine, each of his own fig tree, and will drink water from his own cistern. Beware lest Hezekiah mislead you, saying, "The Lord will deliver us." Has any of the gods of the nations delivered out of his hand the king of Assyria?'" Man, he's kind of calling them out, isn't he? Yep. And you want to see what Hezekiah does? Verse 21, this is what Hezekiah does. Hezekiah and Eliakim, "But they were silent and answered him not a word, for the king's command was, 'Do not answer him.'" This meeting didn't go real well, did it? Yeah, Hezekiah is kind of unsure what to do. Wasn't a real good day in the office. So what are we going to do? What do you think we should do?
We should get all our forces to surround the kingdom and two guards standing next to me and that guy, and then we can just fight them.
She's got a plan. I think she's got more of a plan than Hezekiah. She said, we need to get all of our forces surrounding us, put them in twos, and have each one defend a side, right? That's a pretty good plan. That's a good idea. You know, one of the things you mentioned is that back in the day, kings would build walls around their cities, right, to protect. That's a pretty good idea, right? So maybe we get our army in place. Maybe we look at the wall that we have. Anything else that we could do? You know, maybe we just hope, maybe these guys will just be nice. Maybe do that. Maybe we just say, hey, it's not a big deal. Okay, all right, so we'll just hope it's not that bad. We'll hope that it won't be that big of a deal. Maybe these guys will be nice, and we've also got a wall. All right, great. Well, let's move on. What's the next picture? Hey, look at that. It's our city, and it's got a wall. And so we can put our army around that. That's a pretty good idea, right? So this is what most ancient cities, they had a wall. Well, let's see what happens. Next slide. Oh, I think this is what they did to all the other cities. It looks like they made ladders, and they've got 300,000 people coming out. That's like more than the whole city. So it doesn't look good for our wall. Actually, next slide. Look at this, man. They've built like a ramp, and they're pushing stuff up to take out the walls. So their army is way bigger than the whole city, and they've got things that they can climb the wall with. So I don't know that we can trust in our army. Maybe they'll be nice. Maybe they'll be nice. Well, let's look. What do we have here? Oh, you know what? This event of Sennacherib invading Jerusalem, it happened in the year 701. And back in like 1845, they were doing excavations on the old palace there, and they actually found this, it's called a relief. It's this portrait that was painted in the palace of Sennacherib. And it's got some pictures of the Assyrians and what they would do. You want to take a look at that? Okay, let's look at some of these. So this is them. They're coming with their bows. Doesn't seem real nice, does it? Next slide. Now that's them with their slings, and they've got rocks in the slings. That's for attacking. And next slide. Oh, that's kind of hard to see, but that's them building the ramparts that would go up to take out the city wall. Next slide. That's the king sitting in the chair, and these are people coming to bow down and worship him. Not real nice. is it, making people worship you? Next slide. What do you think that guy's doing? Yep, I think he's trying to throw an arrow in him. He's taking him out. Yep, and it looks like he took out the other guy. Next slide. This is a little bit harder to understand, but what they would do, the Assyrians, when they came in, they would actually lay people down, stretch them out, and skin them. And so this is what they're doing right there. Next slide. Oh, man. This is another, when they conquered people, they would actually put them on spikes and set them up. So we'll just move on to the next slide. And I'm not sure our idea of just hoping they're nice is going to work. I don't think that's going to work. Any other? Yep, you got an idea?
How about this? We buy all the axolotls in the world and give them, everyone, citizen, an axolotl.
We'll give everybody an axolotl.
Yeah.
Bring some beers, let them get drunk. They don't know what to do.
We're trying to find ways to take them out. Yeah, so there's things that we could give them. We could mess with them a little bit. Yeah, maybe we should just keep reading the story and see what happens. Should we do that? You want to see what happens? All right, because our ideas aren't really working so far. All right, let's see what happens. As soon as Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim to the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos. We'll skip down to verse 5. When the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, "Say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard and with which the young men of the king of Assyria have reviled me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, so he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land." That would be pretty neat, right? Prophet Isaiah is saying, you know what? I'm going to put a spirit of fear in these people, and they're going to run away, and they're going to die in their hometown. That would be, like, that's a best case scenario, right? Yeah, that would be pretty good. That was a little bit better than all the other ideas that we've had. So, what do you think Hezekiah is going to do?
Send a nuclear bomb.
Send a nuclear bomb? Well, I don't know if that was an option back then.
Accept the axolotl invitation?
You know what? Later you might have to tell us what an axolotl is. So, that might be a good idea if we knew. Should we read? Yeah, because we were reading earlier that we should trust in the Lord, right? Do you think Hezekiah is going to do that? I mean, that's pretty cool that Hezekiah, God sent Isaiah to tell Hezekiah to trust in him. Let's see what happens. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And he prayed, "Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. So now, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, and that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are the Lord." That's pretty cool. So really all that Hezekiah could do, he knew his wall wasn't good enough. He knew his plans weren't good enough. He knew there wasn't something else that he could come up with to like launch a nuclear bomb or an axolotl attack. Like he knew none of those would work. So the only thing he can do is trust in the word of the Lord, right? And so he went and prayed. That can be a pretty good plan, right? But sometimes we feel like, well, we need to do more. But that's all that Isaiah could do. He had no other hopes. So we'll see what happens here. This is Isaiah 37, verse 36. I don't think we have this on the screen. I'll read it. It says, "And the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 Assyrians." That's over half. Remember, there was 300,000. The Lord struck down 185,000. "And when people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. And then Sennacherib, king of Assyria," what do you think you'd do if you woke up one morning and half your army was dead?
I would probably freak out.
I'd probably freak out too. And that's what Sennacherib does. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. And as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, struck him down with the sword. And after they escaped into the land of Arad, Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. Can you believe that? It happened just like Isaiah said. So Sennacherib loses half of his army, over half of his army, in one night, and he runs back home, and he ends up being killed by his own son. That's sad for him, but that's good that Hezekiah prayed and the Lord delivered him, right? So it teaches us we should trust in the Lord, right? All right, awesome. Can we give these guys a hand? Thank you. You guys can go have a seat now. Good job. You guys can have a seat too. We'll leave the swords up here. You can keep it till after service. Let you play a little bit. Good job. Good job. You can keep that as well. All right. So what we see in this passage is that the Lord delivers his people. God tells us to trust in him. Trust in him to strengthen us, to uphold us, that he will help us. And we see Hezekiah, he's being confronted with a situation that he didn't anticipate, right? And he doesn't know what to do. And really, the only thing he can do is to pray. And so sometimes we're in situations where we feel like, I don't know what to do. And sometimes we feel helpless because it's like the only thing we can do is to pray. But we're reminded that prayer is powerful, that prayer is a way that we access the throne room of God. You know, throughout this passage, you kept hearing Sennacherib. He referred to himself as the king of the universe, the great king. He's not the true king, right? We serve the true king. Hezekiah served the true king. Isaiah spoke about the true king. We rest in him. Sennacherib, he's enthroned in Assyria. God is enthroned in heaven. We trust him. We look to him. And so this passage, it teaches us how we can trust in God. But, you know, one of the things that's the backdrop of this that we've talked about throughout this book is that God has made promises with his people. It's in those promises that we trust. It's in those promises that his people were to trust. God had made a promise with, remember King David? We talked about that. God made a promise to him that he would have a descendant who would reign on his throne and reign forever. That's why God is defending Jerusalem. That's why God is defending what's going on there, because God is committed to his plan to redeem his people. And so it teaches us that we need to trust in what God has promised. You know, I'd love it if I had a promise that I'm not going to run into any bad guys. I'd love it that I had a promise that I'm not going to run into anybody that says mean things about me. We're going to experience that. Maybe you're out on the basketball court and some other kids show up and they're being mean. They're saying things they shouldn't be saying. What are you going to do? Are you going to trust in the Lord? We don't have promises that the business is just going to, it's just easy. It's easy and you just keep getting more and more and more. We don't have that promise, but we do have a promise. God has made a promise, a covenant with Jesus. And that's what we can rest in. That Jesus, he came, he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, and then he was raised from the dead. He's now seated on his throne in heaven. That's the promise that we have in Jesus, and the promise is that as we trust in him, we can be saved. As we trust in him, we can be delivered from death. That's good news. We can be delivered from death. And if we can be delivered from death, like what's the worst thing that can happen to us, right? We may have people call us names. If God can deliver us from death, he can deliver us from that too. We may be scared to show up in school and to do the presentation. But if we know it doesn't matter how bad that presentation goes, I can still rest in God. I can still trust in him to deliver me. There's power in that, right? It means that the thing that is most powerful over us has been completely robbed of all its power. Death has been robbed. So we can trust in Jesus. We can trust in him for everything. He can uphold us in life and death. He can uphold us in the presentation when the house is falling apart, when our friends don't like us. We can trust in him in that because the greatest power this world has over us is death. And in Jesus, that is completely taken away. We've got another verse on the screen. This is Romans 8:38. Maybe you know this. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, whether it be Assyria or Babylon or the rent collector or whatever else is going on, any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." That means nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Jesus. Your friends can't do that. Your enemies can't do that. We just need to keep ourselves in the faith, right? We just need to make sure we are resting in God's promises. We're resting in His Word. And when we do that, nothing can separate us from Him. That means all of our fears, we just rest in Him. We know Him. We know that we have a good, good Father in heaven. We know that in Jesus, we are loved by our Heavenly Father. And that means that we can stand strong, right? It means that we don't have to fear the other things that are going on. What were some of the things that we talked about we feared in the beginning? Remember? Math class. Hey, it may be hard, but I can rest. I can rest in what God has done for me. What are some of the other things? Jobs? Promotion? Maybe not getting those? Maybe just fear of what other people think? FOMO, right? FOMO, fear of missing out? All, you know, a lot of our fears are social media. A lot of our fears are in our head. We can tell those to be silent. If God accepts us, what does it matter if somebody else doesn't accept us? We need to be firm in who God is and what He's spoken and the promises that we have in Him. Remember the big idea? Got the big idea? Next slide. God can uphold us in
anything,
so we trust Him in
everything.
Everything. That's right. Can we tell ourselves that one time? Let's read this together. God can uphold us in
anything,
so we trust Him in
everything.
That's right. So Hezekiah learned a great lesson. He learned to trust in the Lord. And he learned to trust in Him, to lean on His promises, and to pray. And you know what? We're all going to have times where we get stretched, right? You're going to have times where you're like, man, I didn't expect this. I didn't think life would be this hard. But we can rest in God. We can trust in Him. He can uphold us, so we can rest in Him. We trust in Him, right? Right? We're going to trust in Him?
Yes.
We're going to trust in Him?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. All right, let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus. Hope that there is nothing that this life throws at us that we can't stand up under, that we can't get through, because You are with us. You're not a God who is way far away. You're not a God who hides Himself. You are a God who is with His people. And even though we go through times where it feels like we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we know You are with us, and that comforts us, God. And I just pray for everybody, no matter how old or young they are, no matter how successful or unsuccessful they may feel, God, I pray that You would help us to all of us, to trust in You, to rest in who You are, to rest in what You've done, and that we would follow You with all of our hearts. And God, we pray that especially for our young people as they are growing. Some of them are growing in their gifts of singing. Some of them are growing in their gifts in school. But we know that there are many temptations that they face. And so I just pray that You would strengthen them, that You would help them, and that they would see You uphold them and get them through things that maybe they didn't think they were getting through. We pray that You would strengthen their faith. We pray that they would be passionate about You and that they would be an encouragement to many other people to rest in You, and that they would not let anyone look down on them because they're young, but that they would set an example. We pray that for our young people here. We pray that You would work in them. We pray You would work in us as a church too, God. We thank You for this time, and we pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen.